All right, our sermon today is based on a reading from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Thank you, God, for this day of remembrance, and may we celebrate Jesus Christ coming into our lives every day. Palm Sunday is always a favorite day in the Christian year. We get to wave palms. We get to shout Hosanna. Shout it one more time. Hosanna. There. Hosanna. So Palm Sunday is a celebration of Jesus' meekness and humility. It's a celebration of his life as the absolute counterpart to war and violence. We need that kind of celebration more than ever. The first Palm Sunday was an open mockery of the status quo, a satire of the usual Roman triumph. These triumphs were demonstrations staged after a victory in war. The Roman rulers would parade their soldiers through the streets of the city to show off their military might. Their armor gleamed in the sunlight, and they held their unsheathed swords aloft to prove to the populace their power. Captives taken in battle would be forced to march along in front of the cheering, jeering crowds as a stark reminder that anyone who opposed Rome would pay this price: captivity, humiliation, loss of freedom, maybe later loss of life. If tanks had been invented back then, they would have been part of the parade. Toward the end of the spectacle, the general who commanded the victorious troops would ride by on a prancing, snorting war horse, eliciting accolades from the watching people, who, by the way, were almost always forced into attending the triumph. Excuses and absences were not allowed. You had better be there, or else. A triumph showcased imperial domination. It was all about power, not pacifism. It was all about demoting and dismantling, cruelty and conquest. The message was clear. You could not, should not, must not stand up to Rome and the emperor. You had better get in line, or else. Whether the people surrounding Jesus that day in Jerusalem knew it or not, they were sending a countering message to the warmongers and savage soldiers. Jesus' triumphant entry into the city was a stark contrast to the triumphant entries the people had seen before. This was not a celebration of war. This was a pageant of peace. Instead of a high-stepping, towering over people's steed, Jesus came riding in on a low-to-the-ground donkey. This showed how he considered himself to be one with the people, not above them. Horses could be used for crowd control. A big, sturdy stallion could be ridden into the midst of a rowdy crowd and would easily disperse them if they got out of hand. But a donkey? With those delicate, tiny hooves and those big, long ears, a donkey as a deterrent would be laughable. So all the aspects of Jesus' parade were mocking and mockable. He did that on purpose. He wanted to contrast his coming kingdom with the empire the people were living in at the time. But as usually happens, those who were being mocked didn't realize they were being mocked in the moment, especially when they think they're the ones in the right and they are the ones with all the power. Jesus' celebrants wanted to include in their parade all the elements of a triumph that generally grated on their nerves. They wanted to reclaim every part of the procession and transform them and make them their own. They remembered how the soldiers in triumphs waved their bare, maybe bloodied swords as a sign of their ability to dominate their enemies in battle. So they had to have something in their hands too. They had to have something they could wave about. But palms? How flimsy was that? Palms were harmless. They couldn't cut people in two or stab them to death. Hitting someone with a palm would make them fall over with laughter, not collapse screaming in pain. Choosing to brandish palms showed that the people following Jesus were not out to harm or maim or kill. Their entire objective was to celebrate a king who promoted peace and harmony. The people chose to celebrate a king who aligned himself with them and their hopes and dreams. They, in turn, aligned themselves with one who knew that war, bloodshed, death, and destruction were not the path to peace. War, bloodshed, death, and destruction have never been and never will be the path to peace. I doubt the people parading with Jesus that day understood all the nuances of what Jesus was doing. They may not have caught the reference to the prophecy from Zechariah. Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. They were just excited to be part of a positive parade. They were just excited to be the winners for once, because they thought, at last, here is the prophet who is coming to set us free and get Rome out of our hair and out of our lives once and for all. Finally, we're number one. Scoffers may have looked at their branches and fronds and sneered at the celebrants. Where'd you get those palms? Ooh, you have palms, we're so scared. What do you think you can do with them? They considered these people who sought peace weak. It's a sentiment we still see today. The cry of a sizable portion of people in the world today is a passionate plea for peace, a call to set aside bombs and bombastic rhetoric and learn from Jesus Christ's example what true power is. Of course, Jesus' way is counterintuitive. That whole turn the other cheek, love your enemy thing, surely Jesus didn't really mean it. Surely he knew how futile it was to go against slashing swords with flimsy fronds. But then, as today, Jesus was and is sending us a clear message. Put down your swords and embrace the power of love symbolized in palm fronds that can do no harm. Jesus calls us to put aside the thirst for power and embrace the power of peace. In my favorite passage of scripture, which we heard earlier, the writer of Revelation reminds us that when we gather in the after, when all God's children from all nations and countries and tribes come to worship Jesus Christ, the Lamb upon the throne forever and ever, there will not be a sword in sight. Just palms held high and waved grace and gratitude in honor of the true King of the world, the King of the universe. What the world just considers simple stalks of weakness will be held in the hands of the saints in the new kingdom Christ has come to create. And they will be symbols of unity and perseverance and real power. Power that does not cut down but lifts up. Power that considers the wants and needs of others first. Power that rejoices in kindness. It's the power of perfect love that casts out hate and division and fear and erases from our hearts that us versus them mentality that all too often gets us into trouble. In the eternal kingdom, there is simply no more room for anything that disrupts and disturbs and demeans. The cry of Hosanna is both adulation and supplication. It comes from the Hebrew words yasa, meaning save or deliver, and na, which conveys a sense of desperation or urgency. So Hosanna is both praise and a plea. Please save now, now. In these tumultuous times in which we live, if ever our cries of Hosanna need to rise loud and clear, it is now. In these confusing, combative times in which we live, we need more than ever to welcome a gentle, peace-promoting Savior into our midst, one who understands sacrifice. We need to put down our swords and take up the palms that signify success and deliverance and joy and follow Jesus Christ and his unwavering example of acceptance and mercy. Jesus came into the world to bring peace, true and eternal peace. And it seemed this was what the people wanted, not the pomp and circumstance of their Roman oppressors, the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, which never lasted. They wanted the quiet gentleness that Jesus offered, the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ. That day in Jerusalem was a choose you this day whom you will serve moment. Would the people give their loyalty to the sword and the slanderer, or would they give their loyalty to the one who embodies meekness and humility, the one who spoke not a word as he rode among them? Well, later this week, their choice became clear. Their momentary bravado gave way to acquiescence, to cowardice, to cowering, to capitulation. The question became, where'd you put those palms? What happened to them? What happened to the hosannas? The parade has come full circle back to us. In this time and in this moment, we need to choose. Are we going to keep following Jesus Christ, even knowing that the way he goes leads to the cross and seeming defeat? Or are we going to turn around and chase after the rotten regime whose path is death and destruction without a promise of resurrection and restoration? You can't walk both ways. You cannot hold a sword in one hand and a palm in the other. You can rely on the steeliness of the one or have faith in the seeming flimsiness of the other. You can either follow the demons of destruction or you can follow the Prince of Palms in peace. It's up to you, so choose wisely. Let us pray. God, thank you for a loving Savior who comes not with blustering, disparaging words and actions. Indeed, our Christ came in quietly, lovingly, knowing what lay before him and heading for the cross anyway. As we trek through this Holy Week, help us keep our eyes on the true power that Jesus embodies, the power of sacrificial love and humility. May we be the ones proclaiming peace without cease. Amen.
Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he who comes.